The text is the Gospel reading from St. Mark. Well, I begin at the first verse rather than the second in chapter 10. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus to save him, to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Here ends our text. What do the events in today's text have to do with each other? What do Jesus' words about marriage and divorce have to do with his words about letting little children come to him? Well, the connection is simple. Don't debate divorce with God. People think they can debate divorce with God. They say in their heart, where only God can hear them, "God wants me to be happy. God wouldn't have expected me to live like that. God knows I'm married too young. I didn't break up a marriage. We never had a marriage to begin with." They lay out in their heart all the reasons why they aren't at fault for their divorce. They build before God such an ironclad case that God himself has to declare, "You're right. You should have divorced your spouse. You did the right thing for yourself, your kids, and even for your spouse." Admit it, you've tried to debate divorce with God, either your own or someone else's, and you're not alone. The disciples in our text did it too. They were floored by Jesus' words about divorce not being part of God's plan and that it was one wife till death. When they got back inside the house away from the Pharisees, the text says, the disciples asked Jesus about this. Well, that word "ask" is better translated, "were badgering." The disciples were agitated by what Jesus said about marriage and divorce, and they were badgering or debating him about it. Picture this. They're saying, "Come on, Jesus, you've carried this too far. Divorce can't be that bad. So many people do it. Even Moses permitted it." If you want to see what ridiculous lengths the disciples debated Jesus, read Matthew's account. To Jesus' statement that anyone who divorces his wife and marries again commits adultery, Matthew records the disciples saying, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry at all." See how the disciples end the debate about divorce? By concluding what most people do in our day. It's better to live together. And you don't have a messy divorce if things don't work out. Then you can get out from under Jesus' totally unreasonable demand never to separate what God has joined together. People try to debate divorce with God, but God does not debate it. He hates it. He says very clearly in Malachi 2, "I hate divorce." He doesn't say, "I hate only messy divorces," or "I hate those involving children." He doesn't say, "I hate divorces where adultery isn't involved." No, he hates divorce, all divorce. There is no such thing as a good divorce in the eyes of God. Anyone, no exception, who divorces and remarries, commits adultery. That's all Jesus says to the disciples in Mark. God's plan from the beginning was not divorce, but one spouse for life. Two become one in marriage and stay that way till God separates them through death. There's no debate about being compatible, reconcilable, or able to make things work. There's just marriage for life. There's just forsaking all others, including mommy and daddy, and literally being glued to each other for as long as you both shall live. Now, don't think I don't know where some of you are trying to hide. You're trying to hide behind the exception clauses. But they're not here, are they? Oh, they're in Matthew and Paul. And you who are contemplating divorce in your heart or defending the divorce in your head, you know them well. Adultery and desertion. If your spouse commits adultery or leaves you, you are free to divorce them. God permits these divorces because adultery and divorce actually break the marriage. The exceptions, though, are not in Scripture to give you something to debate God about divorce with. They're in Scripture to recognize what really breaks up a marriage. Besides, even the exceptions don't work, do they? Late at night, it creeps into your conscience that maybe you did, after all, have something to do with your spouse's adultery or desertion. Perhaps you're not as innocent as others believe you to be. Maybe the divorce is your fault too. And God says He hates all divorce. We end up convicted of our sin. Or worse yet, we end up accepting it. Thanks be to God, then, that rather than debating divorce or any other sin, God forgives it. You heard right. God does not debate divorce. He forgives it. If that's really true, do you know what it means? Well, no more straining gnats. No more searching your motives. No more debating about your guilt or innocence in your marriage. No more sifting through your marriage trying to find out who's guilty and who's innocent, with only the innocent going free. If God does not debate divorce but forgives it, then there's no more being troubled by the obvious fact that there are no innocent parties in marital difficulties. But is it true? Does God really forgive divorce? Does God really forgive what He Himself declares He hates? How can this be? Follow the text. Mark tells us, as was Jesus' custom, He taught them. Now these people were taught, as the gospel records Jesus had been teaching all along. These people were being taught that God forgives sins because the Son of Man came into the world to save sinners. These people were being taught that the Lamb of God came into the world to carry away the sins of the world. These people were being taught that Jesus calls sinners to lay their sins on Him and be free. And what is the Pharisees' response to this great gospel teaching? They began to test Jesus. They want to trap Him in a Jewish debate about divorce. One group said a man could divorce a woman for any reason, even burning supper. The other group said the husband had to find something indecent in her. But both views assumed divorce was part of God's plan and that it was the husband's prerogative to divorce the wife. They only disagreed as to when the husband could do that. When did a woman do something bad enough to warrant a husband divorcing her? Well, Jesus turns it all around, as He usually does. He shows them that divorce was not part of God's plan at all. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law about divorce, He says. The divorce question is not at all about how bad your wife can act, but how hard your hearts are. It wasn't God's will that men have the right to dump women whenever they felt like it, or even whenever they had done something indecent. Divorce was given to protect women from the hardness of men's hearts who would divorce at the drop of a hat, leaving a woman without a husband, but still technically married. And do you see how this touched the hearts of the women? Jesus goes inside of the house and then deals with the disciples who want to continue the debate about divorce where the Pharisees had left off. But the debate is over in the minds of the women. Here is a God who is gracious towards women. They are touched by his forgiveness and they want their babies to share in it. They're not bashful about bringing their babies to Jesus so he might give the babies by his touch what they had just been given by his words. Watch carefully what follows in the text. The disciples, still upset with Jesus' words about marriage, rebuke the mothers. Go on, get out of here. Quit bothering the master with your little children. He's got better things to do. But look what Jesus does. He gets indignant. That word means to be so upset you show it in your face and in your actions. Jesus is fried. He says, you must let the children come to me and do not continue to prevent them because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. These words, to such as these, they're very important. So Jesus is not just talking about little children age-wise, but about all those like little children. And what are little children like? They've got nothing to offer Jesus. Little children have no good works. They have no faith, no money. They have no good marriage, no faithful marriage, no scriptural divorce to put before God. They have nothing. And yet the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It belongs to all those who have absolutely nothing to bring to Jesus. Those who want to debate sin with God, they've got something to offer God. They've got some excuse, they've got some goodness, they've got some reason for him to accept them. But if you debate your divorce with God, you're only going to hear what the Pharisees and the disciples heard. No divorce, no exceptions. If you debate any of your sins with God, you're going to hear the same thing. Your harsh temper is not merely a character flaw. Your lustful eye is not just the way you are. You're longing for money and more things. That's not excusable. Quit debating with God about what is sin and what is not sin. You may think you win sometimes, but you're going to lose on your deathbed. Because that's when Satan enters the debate and argues so forcefully on behalf of your excuses that you're going to put your trust in them. You'll trust your eternal salvation to the fact that you really weren't to blame for your divorce, your bad marriage, or your sins. And then, my friend, you'll be lost. Don't debate divorce or any other sin with God. Confess it. Confess that you are a little child before God with absolutely nothing to offer him. You don't have a scriptural divorce, you don't have a good marriage, you don't have a faithful heart or a better life than others to offer Jesus. You have nothing but sin and death to bring to him. Nothing but a sinful heart that defends divorce and blames a bad marriage on your spouse. Nothing but sin upon sin, excuse upon excuse. Now the glorious gospel that touched the women can touch you too. Now you can hear God's New Testament to sinners. Not, you do this and then I'll forgive you, but I'll remember your sins no more. Not, as long as your sins aren't too bad, I'll forgive you, but though they be crimson, I will make them white as snow. Not, as long as you did your best in your marriage, I will forgive your divorce, or as long as you really tried to be a good person, I'm going to let your sins go. No, you hear, I put your sins away from you as far as east is from west. Friends, when you debate divorce or any other sin with God, you're claiming you can deal with your sins. Is that what little children in the arms of their mothers do? Not at all. They are helpless and they are passive. Everything in their life must be dealt with by somebody else. Be babies when it comes to sin. Stop debating with God what is and what is not sin. Stop debating if it should or shouldn't be placed on your account. Stop debating, are you guilty or are you not guilty? Confess your little kids, wholly dependent on Jesus to take you up in his arms just as you are and bless you. There can be no debate that this is where he wants you to be. Because he says, let the little children come to me. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.